happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and potential mothers. My mother is actually here in the room with me today, and I can say that and accentuate that because I'm the pastor and I get to say stuff up here. Welcome to all the mothers that are here, and my wife, who's the mother of my six children, is here looking beautiful as always. We have some things back here for you guys if you didn't get it already. We have chocolate-covered strawberries. We have gifts. We have little kids at the door giving you flowers. If you didn't get one, we have more flowers available to you, and so we just want you to feel special today, and we're grateful for you. Live stream guests, welcome. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers watching. Sorry you couldn't get the gifts. You should have been here with us. But we're grateful you're here, and we're grateful that all the men are here as well. So I'm really excited today to accentuate the God-ordained office of mother. And today we're going to be pursuing a message called Motherhood, Celebrating God's Design. And we'll be studying mostly in Proverbs 31, but we'll be over a lot of places in Scripture as well. I think it's pertinent. And I was praying through whether we should begin our 2 Corinthians or whether we should really talk about motherhood today. And God just pressed it upon me. When you look around at our world, we know that there's a loud cry going out in the world right now against the nuclear family, right? And there's an attack. There's whole organizations devoted to tearing down the nuclear family. And really, the goal of the progressive movement is to redefine gender, redefined all the norms and the standards that God's set forth in His Bible and His Word and His revelation to us and who we're meant to be. These things are under attack, and they're foundational and they're fundamental to our faith. And the more we subscribe to the ideas of the world, the more crazy things happen. I mean, just now they're starting to try to pass a law where there's transgender sports happening, where guys who want to identify as women now can play women's sports because, I mean, if you want to be a woman, you can be a woman, whether or not it's biologically true or not. If you feel like it, you can do it. And so these fundamental foundational truths are totally under attack, and it's tough to navigate this world as a Christian who wants to hold true to God's principles. So much so that the lines between men and women have been blurred to where, I mean, it's indiscernible oftentimes with what's happening. And so we want to be a church that really gets after it today. It's amazing when you really think about how God designed us differently, men and women, and how He had a plan to accentuate and glorify Himself through the unique attributes of male and female. It's just amazing when you look all over Scripture. It'll pop out to you when you read the Scripture under that lens. So I want to do some of that today, to just press against what's happening outside and really wrap our minds around the truth of what God wants. Okay, so we'll be in Proverbs 31. There's a king named Lemuel, and his mother is imparting wisdom to him about how he should approach the world. Now, he's a king who has a lot of people coming up against him. There's a lot of strongholds and pitfalls that he could fall into. And so his mother, in Proverbs 31, is giving him guidance about how to navigate the world. Okay? And today, we just want to celebrate God's design for mothers. Number one, we want to celebrate God's design for mothers to be the helpmate of God's chosen leader, her husband. And we'll start with Proverbs 31 and begin, and we'll get into how this point is made. All right, verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine, for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who's perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty, remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. She starts this teaching by calling him to be a man of character. She speaks to him, hey, watch out, son, watch out. You're my son who I love dearly. Watch what you are doing. Be careful, because you need to be a man of character, a man of God. You need to make choices that reflect who you are. She starts with giving advice about things to stay away from. Number one, stay away from women with bad character. Don't give yourself away to women who want to be with you for the wrong reasons, who have ulterior motives and ulterior goals, okay? Stay away from them. People who want to steal your character away and steal your reputation. And we see that in society all the time with big name actors and coaches and all these people. And oftentimes, women will come along and it'll be a woman of bad character. They'll make bad choices together. It'll come out that she'll accuse them of something. They'll go to court and it'll be a crazy situation that really, really becomes a tarnish for his character. Kings were not immune to this at the time. And so this is what she's warned. Hey, find the right woman. These aren't the type that you should go after. With that in mind, focus on being sober-minded. Don't be driven by your lust of the flesh, not by drinking alcohol that can dull your wits. Make choices that reflect good character. And then she goes on, hey, let your actions reflect your character. Help the poor, help the needy. Speak on their behalf. Defend the rights of those who are not being treated fairly. Don't exploit others. Don't take advantage because they are desperate. Okay, so you see kind of a pattern here. Avoid sinful women who can cloud your mind and character. Avoid drinking that can cloud your mind and character. And be a person of integrity and character that shows itself by sticking up for people who can't stick up for themselves, right? So she sets it up and then she spends the rest of the chapter telling him to find a helpmate of character that reflects these same values so that he can live out his life of character. Little side note, there's in the original language, a Hebrew alphabet, a cross stitch that happens from verses 10 all the way on to verse 31. It starts with Aleph and Bet and Gimel and Dalet, and it goes through all the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And the whole point of it was that people at the time would remember these verses. And remember, these are the verses that match up to the character that I'm looking for in a wife. And so men would memorize these things, remember the things they should be looking for, and young women would also. And it was just a way for them to keep these things in their hearts. Kind of a cool side note. Because it was so important to find a helpmate that was suitable. Proverbs 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." It's a good thing. It's a really good thing. When the Bible talks about it's good, that means it's exactly as it should be. It's perfect. It's from the Lord, it says, you obtain favor. So you wanted to find this. So Proverbs 31:10 goes on to talk about it. An excellent wife, who can find? Who can find? Be looking out, but it's hard. It's hard to find an excellent wife. Be searching. Why? Because she is far more precious than jewels. Now, I want you to look at what happens here first. We're celebrating Mother's Day. The Proverbs is going to talk a lot about being a mother, but first it starts with this finding a wife. Notice how he talks about a wife before motherhood. And it's the reason for this. The wife is the primary identity to be focused on. All right. Now, it's our struggle all the time to make priorities and make identities primary that aren't our primary identity. So often men struggle with this. We want to make our work our primary identity, the thing that we find value in and we focus on, rather than being the husband we were called to be, rather than being the father we're called to be. So often we sacrifice our family on the altar of our work, right? And we struggle with it because we forget our primary identity that we are given. Identity is told to us through God's word. Husbands can make their identity as the provider primary, and so can wives, okay? Sometimes wives, if they're not careful, can make being domestic and being the homemaker and even their outside the home jobs, they can make that their primary identity and sacrifice the children and the husband on the altar of the secondary identity. It starts with it right here. Your wife first. And it goes on, verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good, not harm, all of her days. All right, it says he trusts her in verse 11. No lack of gain. And that simply means this. He's not going to lose what he's earned. He doesn't have to worry about what's going to happen with their resources, okay? She's oikodespotes, a word used to describe the role of a woman in 1 Timothy 5:14, which is the ruler of the house. Women are to rule the house. She's the one who is in charge over all of the assets of the house, over the relationships in the home. And he trusts her because when he's off at work, who's going to care for what's happening in the home, right? When he's off doing what God's called him to do and earning, you have the house to care for. You have the assets of the home. My wife has access to our credit cards and our spending, okay? So she can get on Amazon and spend it all if she wanted to. I have to trust her. And she doesn't do that. She always checks with me and we coordinate and it's a really good partnership. But you have to be able to trust. And that's what he's saying here. He's not going to lose everything when he's doing what he's called to do. He's got a wife that's trustworthy with all of the things she's called to do. She does them only good, not harm, because she knows her God-designed role plays her part well. Even before the New Testament writers made this plain, women of faith were wise and knew the will of God for their lives. But Ephesians 5, 15 through 24 really makes this clear. It says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's verse 17, and then skip down to verse 20. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, okay? It says, make the best use of time, walk in wisdom, be sure to submit to one another. And then it goes on, the verse we know well that we talk a lot about in wedding ceremonies, we accentuate verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. And I often talk about this when I'm officiating weddings, and I say something similar to this. Ladies, one of your roles in marriage is to submit to your husband as the church submits to Christ. Your love for your husband will be shown in how you follow his leadership and become the helpmate that God designed women to be in the beginning. Your God-given role is to help him accomplish the purposes that God has ordained for your family to accomplish together in glorifying him. Wives are to submit to their husbands, the Bible says, as the church submits to Christ. So it begs the question, how does the church submit to Christ? How does the church submit? Well, we know, Scripture says, in every way, we look to Christ for guidance, direction, identity, purpose, and follow his words because we know that's what we are created for. We trust Christ with our life, with our eternal life. We trust Christ, right? He leads us as we follow because his way is the way to forever eternal life with God. This idea of submissiveness is often demeaned in our society, looked down upon as weakness. It's being preached against by the masses right now. But when it reaches its pinnacle, it can be a beautiful picture of the gospel, right? Think about it. Christ came to the earth, had power to do miracles, help blind people see, walk on water. He raised people from the dead. He had the power to destroy his enemy with the word. And yet he submitted to his Father's will, died on the cross for the people that he actually ended up putting him to death, the very people he came to save in the first place. And because he was willing to humble himself, his submission now leads to eternal life for those who believe in him as our Lord and Savior. Christ didn't call women and men to do anything that he didn't do himself, right? He's like, I want you to be my image bearer, do what I did. In the same way, women, like all of you, who are beautiful, so beautiful today, by the way. You guys look amazing. Powerful, talented, smart, fully capable of accomplishing amazing things by following God and submitting to their husband can point to what Christ did on the cross for everyone. It's a picture of the gospel that you get to play out every day for the world to see. And hopefully you do it well in front of a dying world who will indeed take notice. And they'll show it through giving your husband respect for the wife you are. Proverbs 31:23 says this, after all of these attributes that she displays, her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land, He is known, he is revered because of the wife that he has been given by God and that he's been so fortunate to find. All right? Her husband's known. He has a good reputation. You know people in your life that actually don't have a good reputation because of the way their wife doesn't submit and doesn't want to honor him and doesn't do well by him, right? You've seen examples of that. The opposite, where, man, every time they walk in the room, they're fighting about something. She's getting on his case and he's frustrated with her and they get that reputation. Everywhere they go, it's like a cloud, you know? That could be a scary thing. Women in the room, we want to be people that accentuate God's nature through our relationship as wives. Proverbs 19:14 says, it's a gift from God. It's truly a gift on display when God's honored in the relationship and they see who they're meant to be. Today, we want to celebrate God's design for mothers to be, number one, a helpmate of God's chosen leader, her husband. But number two, the manager of God's most cherished institution, the home. Pretty amazing, all right? Now, I say most cherished because there's two kind of equally cherished institutions. They're meant to display the same thing in the Bible. Number one, the church, which we're a part of, Christ's bride. He loves his church. He gave his life for the church. He died for the church. But a close second, if not equal, is this idea of the home and the family that God's ordained. Right? Because they're both pictures of one another. That's why God uses them to describe that reality. And what's amazing about this is that God has given women the role of being the manager. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I used to work at Chick-fil-A. I always talk about this. You guys probably get sick of it. It's okay. I used to be a general manager, and we took making a manager really, really seriously. Okay? Chick-fil-A, you guys have been Chick-fil-A. You know how it works. You can't have a manager who doesn't know what they're doing. It's just a well-oiled machine that you get to experience every time you go through the drive-thru. Most of the time, you get to experience this well-oiled machine. And it starts with leadership. Leadership has to know what they're doing. They have to know how to train people. And so when you're looking for someone to manage something like that, man, you've got to have all these attributes of faithfulness that you see in a person. They have to be a person that shows up. They have to be a person that's always there. They can't be a lazy person. They have to be a self-starter. They have to be a person that you don't have to stay on all the time, right? you don't have to talk to them and get them motivated to do their job. They come in, they've taken a shower, they look good, they look presentable, right? Like, I don't have to say, hey, you smell really bad, bro. You need to go back home, take a shower, and come back and clock in, right? Lady, you need to go take a shower. You know, like it has to be a person that takes self-initiative. They really care about their presentation. They're a person that loves others, have eye contact. They connect with people. They want to be servants, right? You look for all of these attributes in a manager, and then you train them over a period of time, and then you entrust them. All of a sudden, I remember these moments. I would have a night manager, and I would give them the keys to the store. I'm like, here are the keys to the store. Here's the alarm code to the safe with all the money, okay? And you're about to take over after lunch, and there's probably $10,000, $15,000 already in there that you could steal if you weren't trustworthy, right? Here it is. Manage this deal that we've built up over time. And it's a scary thing, unless they've proven themselves, okay? And this is what God's done for you ladies. He's made you the manager of his primary discipleship method in all of mankind. His thing that he loves, he said, this home, this institution that's so important to him, that he's built society on, you're the manager. And I've equipped you in every way. I've given you the talents, and I've given you skills, and I've given you everything you need. I knit you together in your mother's womb and gave you the key attributes you needed to do this well. Here it is. Keys to the home, right? And it's pretty cool. Man, think about that. That's amazing that God saw fit in his infinite wisdom to give you this special job that only you can do to the utmost. Now, guys, we can figure it out. If you guys were here, you saw the video. All right, those guys, they struggled a lot more than I feel like I struggle with keeping the kids, okay? All right, they struggle a lot more than that. But still, Ladies operating at their peak pinnacle, so much better than us guys could ever do for so many reasons. And we'll talk about that later. But it's amazing. It's an amazing privilege. But Vivian Gornick of the University of Illinois, a modern feminist, spoke about this about 20 years ago, said being a housewife is an illegitimate profession. And that's the modern mentality that we see playing out. It's illegitimate, not a value, not important. But God thinks the opposite. The woman of the house is the ruler of the house that God's entrusted with everything that goes on. It's her domain, it's a sphere of duty, and a woman who's after God's character will take that responsibility and run with it and do her best. And Proverbs 31 shows this woman. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. All right, get this picture here. The woman in olden times had to do a ton of stuff that the ladies don't have to do today, right? She's like a merchant ship, meaning she had to travel far to go get food. And she's like a merchant ship. It's a pretty cool picture. She's not just giving her children the same old food all the time. She wants to provide for them nourishing food and food that they haven't experienced before. So she's like a merchant. And she's bringing all these different things from far. She travels afar. It's like, hey guys, I brought home a new meal today that you've never tasted. It's from China. No, she didn't travel that far, probably. But it's new, right? She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. So she's getting up early. She's thinking, hey, I've got to feed my people. I've got to feed my people. I'm going to keep them alive today. I'm going to nourish them today. This opportunity that I get to have, she rises early. And not just for her own household, for the people. This was probably an affluent house. They had people that were there that were workers. She's taking care of them because that's who she was. She considers a field and buys it with the fruits of her hands and plants a vineyard. That's pretty cool. Okay, so she didn't have her only job that she did. She was thinking, like, how can I contribute to the household? I love my wife, and I'm going to brag on her some today. She does stuff like this. She tries to contribute to the house in a way that doesn't take her away from everything she's supposed to do. We got this big deal at Mike's Merchandise, and they were selling beds, brand new beds. Some of you guys helped her guard off the people from taking the pile of beds that she was accumulating. It was pretty cool. Thank you for this. But they're selling for $1 and then 25 cents, these whole beds, because they were going out of business. She had the stack. She came home with our van like loaded down with beds. And she sold these things on Facebook, and she ended up spending like 15, 20 bucks on these beds. And we got like almost $2,000 from these beds because she turned them around and flipped the beds. It was amazing because she was trying to say, I want to contribute to the household. This is the way I can do it. I was at Mike's buying stuff anyways. And that's a lot like this lady. So you've got that one down. Check it off. That was awesome. She considers the fields and buys it, the fruits of her hand. She plants a vineyard in order to help the household thrive and live. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. So she's working hard and she's keeping fit because she knows that she needs to do that to contribute to what's going on. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. Isn't that true? My wife helps me all the time. My mom used to be this way. I know some of you ladies are this way. It's like the kids crying in the middle of the night. Who's going to get up? Guys have to go to work the next day. I'm so thankful for that my wife will get up and go help the baby and feed the baby and take care of our children that God's entrusted with us. And I can get some rest so that I can go do my thing the next day and help the family in my way, right? The lamp doesn't go out at night. She's ready. When the baby cries, she pops up. Right? She knows if something weird happens outside and there's a weird sound, she's protective and she hears that. What was that? Mariah's constantly waking me up. What was that? What was that sound? What was that banging? Oh, that was just the kid falling out of bed, you know. He's good. He got back up. You know, we look up on the camera. She puts her hands on the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. All right, she's sewing the clothing. She's making stuff. This lady's crazy. Like, she's doing everything. She's going on long-distance travels and making all the clothes. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow herself, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. So she's not afraid of the winter weather. Cool picture of this that happened the other day. I heard about Elizabeth. She was contacting Mariah and some of you other ladies. You guys were all like coordinating with each other. But when the tornadoes came and the weather came, they were ready. They were ready. I was sitting there doing work on my computer and Mariah's like, tornado warning. And then we went into the closet and there was flashlights there and there was helmets and shoes for the kids. Like she was ready for this stuff. And I heard the same thing happened over in your house. It's like, man, like I haven't even thought about this today. I've been distracted by the things I need to do. And she was on it, like protecting. Like we went in, we were ready for it all. We had a mattress that we could throw over ourselves. It was in the closet. It was amazing, right? She makes bed coverings for herself. All right, what you need to know this is it's not just that she made blankets, right? It's not just that. She actually made the beds in olden times. That's crazy, right? Like, I would much rather buy that on Amazon and get it delivered than have to make it. But that was the kind of expectation that they had for women in the days. And it's amazing the blessing of technology now. You can actually order all this stuff online that women had to spend all day long and all week long and years making to provide for the family. Like, you can actually order these things. And if you really tap into it, it can make your life so much more productive now, where you can actually spend time talking to your kids instead of just making things for them, right? And ministering to them. It's pretty amazing. Okay? So that's the kind of woman she is. She's a woman that thinks about managing her household well. She wants to contribute to the house. She sees her job as something that she loves and enjoys, okay? Her strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come, all right? She laughs. It's a joy. It's a joy to do what she's been called to do. She knows what she's been called to do. She's not dissenting against God. She's not frustrated with God about her lot in life and why did you make me this way? I want to rebel against your design for life. It's not that. She's totally, totally joyful. Strength and dignity are her clothing. Like, she's just like, I'm confident in who I am. God's made me to be this, and I'm living it out. And I don't care what the world says, because I look to God for my pleasure, and I look to God to please him, not to please society, right? So we celebrate God's design for mothers to be the helpmate of God's chosen leader, her husband, the manager of God's most cherished institution, the home, and number three, the discipler of God's most cherished creation, her children, these image bearers of God. Think about this. I'm so amazed by this after vicariously experiencing this with my wife four times. Just the unique body that God's given women to allow them to bear children inside their body. It's like, so there's a baby that can form in there, a living person with a soul that's hooked up to all the nutrients of the mother. And God's designed the mother to eat and move and do all the things that she's supposed to do and still be able to function really well while also growing a human being inside of her, right? And the Bible talks about how much intricate detail that God cares about the little babies that are formed. He knows the hairs on their head. He knits them together in the mother's womb, meaning like he knows every part of them. He knows what they're created to be. He's designed them as the designer. And he chose the female body to be the house to bring forth a person that would have a soul that could live on forever and be the image bearer of God. His primary purpose for people, it happens through the woman being able to bear this. Amazing. It's an awesome privilege to create life with a soul and to be part of that process. Now, guys have a role too. We know that. But man, have you guys ever seen that movie back in the day with Arnold Schwarzenegger where he was trying to have a child inside of him? Have you seen this? Okay. It's crazy. It didn't go well. Go watch it. We weren't made for this, guys. And it's amazing what God's done in making women. Right? He uses your womb to create life. But then also, it doesn't stop there. All right? That nourishing care carries over into the how God wants you to operate with children. It says, verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and teaching of kindness is on her tongue in relation to her kids. She opens her mouth with wisdom. God's given her the role, primarily, day in and day out. I count on my wife, and you guys who have kids, you count on your wife, and who have had kids, you count on your wife to be pouring into the kids godly things, godly attributes, pointing them to Jesus, helping them learn how to share with one another, just as Christ shared with us, and helping them learn how to be kind to one another, just as Christ was kind to us, and how to show grace and how to forgive, because kids get in fights. Believe me, I don't know if you knew that, but kids get in fights all the time, and so there's weeping and gnashing of teeth every day, but then there's apologies and forgiveness that's given, and Mariah in my household is the one that points the kids to that. And that's a really cool picture of the gospel and a really awesome picture of God's grace that she gets to teach them every day, right? Gets to teach them how to be productive members of society, to get up out of their bed, take a shower, brush their teeth, take care and steward the thing that God's given them, their body, that's supposed to be the image bearer of God, steward that. Take care of the resources and steward the resources God's given us. Pick up your toys. Pick up after yourself, because we need to take care of the things that God's entrusted to us, and we need to use them for his glory. Really cool picture that women get to do. Just the primary disciple maker. She's teaching them how to have quiet time in the morning when I'm at work. She's teaching them how to approach learning and school and all the things that are going to help them carry on in life and be productive members and people that can actually steward their gifts for God's glory, right? So many really cool things that God's given and entrusted the mothers to do. Primary discipler every day of the image bearers of God. Really awesome. Really awesome. And then we get to use our home to show hospitality to others. And we get to invite kids from the neighborhood into our home. And I remember this was part of our life back in the day, man. Like, it was an open house. We had kids from every walk of life, every ethnicity down in Florida. And we played basketball, and we'd play all day long. And my mom had snacks ready for them, and she had drinks ready for them. And then dad would be like, let's have them all stay over. And they'd all stay over the night for the weekend, and my mom would have a meal ready for them. And it was a really cool time that God gave us to have. And I got to see hospitality played out in my family and in our household. Really cool picture of the gospel going out, how God invites us into his home and shares everything with us forever, right? So, we want to celebrate God's design for mothers to be the helpmate of God's chosen leader, husband, the manager of God's cherished institution, the home, a discipler of God's most cherished creation, her children. And number four, the image bearer of his vital characteristics and his very nature. Okay? There's so many ways in which women were designed to excel that I'm telling you, I as a man struggle with naturally. And she, my wife, and other women that I've met that are Christians, they just get it naturally. And it's amazing, okay? And you can see these kind of attributes all throughout the scripture. So I'm going to give you some. In Isaiah 66:13, God comforts his people. He comforts his people like a mother comforts her child, he says. Isaiah 49:15, like a woman would never forget her nursing child, God will not forget his children. Deuteronomy 32:11, God is like a mother eagle hovering over her young, protecting them. Luke 15:8-10, God seeks the lost like a housekeeper trying to find her lost coin. Psalm 22:9-10, Psalm 71:6, Isaiah 66:9, God cares for his people like a midwife that cares for the child she just delivered. Hosea 13:8, God experiences the fury of a mother bear robbed of her cubs, right? Luke 13:34, Jesus longed for the people of Jerusalem just like a mother hen longs to gather her chicks under her wings. Okay, you see these attributes that God has and that he's shown for his people, this jealous love, this protective nature, this longing to be with someone who's gone far away from them, a child that's gotten away, just like a child's gotten away, and you want to find that child and you want to look for him. You know, find it. And mothers, man, like they're all about, hey, where are the children? We gotta find them right now. We gotta find their passy. We lost their passy. That's really important to the, you know, we gotta find that. God's just like that. He's jealous for the children, seeking after the children, trying to find the children. Okay? And so there's so many characteristics you see in the Bible that way. But there's also just, man, like mercy. I'm telling you, mercy. My wife and women I've known are so much more merciful to me. And I'm like the guy when the kids fall down, they scrape their knee. All right, get up. You're all right. Come on, be strong. And I'm trying to teach them the strength nature. Hey, you don't have to cry about everything. You don't have to be a baby. And Mariah's like, come here. Let me help you. And like, let me put the ointment on it. And let me, I'm like, oh yeah, that would have helped too. I didn't think to do that. I was going to let him run around with blood all over his leg and get everywhere. But you know, like, hey, he's a tough kid. But like, she's like, hey, we need to heal it up so we don't have to amputate his leg, you know? So like, she's got that characteristic in her that's so important and so necessary for me. You know, like, I'm like, hey, quit crying about that. She's like, hey, let's just ask him what's really wrong. Let's get to the bottom of it. You know, and I do some good things too, by the way. I'm not just trying to beat up on myself, but like she's so much better in so many ways than me. And all of the ways that I lack, she makes up. And that's what God intended. She's the helpmate that God designed, right? And she's coming alongside and really playing this role. Kids who don't have one of the members of the household that grow up in split homes, but people divorce, you often see this, whether it's not they don't have the father around or they don't have the mother around. If you don't have them around, they tend to take on the characteristics, more the characteristics of the other parent, and they struggle with the other characteristics because they haven't got to see them model and presented to them, right? And that's a sad, sad picture, but it's the reality of it. It's proven. You need both parents, both genders in the home, modeling the attributes of God so that a kid can grow up fully prepared and equipped to be who they're called to be, right? And it's so important. And so, man, women, you guys, please keep being who you are and don't try to change yourself into a man and identify as man. Like be who God created you to be. Because it's so vital to our kids becoming who they need to be. And it helps me, it disciples me, I'm telling you. Like the ways that I need to grow, my wife helps me grow. There's so many areas of my life that I didn't realize that I struggle and I lack the things God's called me to and the spiritual maturity God's called me to that I got to see in a woman. And I would not be growing in those areas if God hadn't given me a helpmate that was suitable for me, right? So, today we really need to celebrate on Mother's Day God's design for them to be the helpmate of God's chosen leader or husband, the manager of God's most cherished institution, the home. discipler of God's most cherished creation, her children, image bearers of God, and the image bearer of his vital characteristics and his very nature that the world needs to see to know the full picture of who God is, right? So there's different types of women in this room and people that are going to be listening on live stream. You got single people who haven't gotten married yet and haven't had kids, and they're unmarried, and they want all this, but we're like, what do I do in the meantime? Just keep being who you are. Keep being who you are in Christ. God will give you what he wants for you when it's time. And pursue contentment, which means you trust God to give you exactly what you need when you need it, right? And do it joyfully. But then you've got all of these really cool attributes that God's given you that you can use in so many ways to pour into God's children. Man, I'm going to tell you, like, the single women that pour into my kids and watch my kids on Sunday and love on them, man, and they're just excited to see them. That's just a huge service that you get to do in a unique way, and it's a neat part to play. You know, I remember single women that would babysit and for our kids just because they wanted to. And they were like, hey, I've got this yearning. You've got kids. Let me take care of them. Let me love on them. Let me let you go out and go on a date. And I get to serve and humble myself and become a servant like Christ, you know. Keep on desiring and pursuing a young man that God wants you to marry, and pray for that person and trust that God's equipping that person, that he's bringing them along if you desire that. But in the meantime, don't waste the time. Don't get paralyzed with the what if, that you don't use all of the attributes in the best way that you can possibly use them right now. Because the world needs to see what a true woman of God looks like, and it doesn't have to begin only when you get married. That's just another way to show off God's character and nature. It's a cool way, but there's a lot of awesome ways. There's wives who are struggling to have children that may be watching, and man, I sympathize with that, and I understand that, and we've talked to a lot of people that struggle with that and walked them through that, but I'm telling you, just pray about adoption. There's so many kids out there that if you can't have children, you can't afford the other route. There's so many kids out there that don't have a parent that are longing and praying for someone that wants to step up and adopt them. And we got the chance to do that recently with a couple of girls. And it's been amazing to see how God's used that in our life. And you could have that opportunity as well. Just right here in your home state, there's so many people that are in the system. They're overflowing with people that don't have anybody, and they don't have any hope unless Christians and others step up and try to take care of the orphans like we're commanded to, you know. And that's a neat way to be able to do it, especially if you long for children, right? And it's affordable. You can talk to us about it. Older women past childbearing age, look, we want to celebrate you all and for the work that you did in bringing us up in the faith and the ways that you did. We want to celebrate the good things you did. But I want you to also know your job isn't over. It's not over. It doesn't stop. There's a next level, okay? So like there was always this way at Chick-fil-A. We'd have the managers, and then we'd have the manager trainers. And they were the ones that had been managers for a while, and then they would step up and to the next level, and we say, okay, now it's time for you to pour all of your knowledge into somebody else, right? Okay, that's your next level. And older women, you've been given the same task. Titus 2 talks about this, that older women are to teach the younger women to love God and love their husbands and love their children and be domestic, learn how to do the things that you did well and grow in. That's your job, to find younger women and disciple them in the faith in this very specific way. It's a command from Scripture, from God's word, for the local church. So that's why I pray, like, God, bring some older women here that can come and, like, they've been there and done that, and they can pour into our young people who are just now coming in to learning how to bear kids, and they can help talk them off the cliff when they're struggling in the middle of the night with their kids not sleeping, and, like, they can give them, like, have you thought of this? Have you thought of this technique? Hey, here's how you can keep from wanting to kill your husband, you know, in these certain situations, and this is how you can honor God. Like there's so much you can do to pour in. Your job isn't over. It's time to come master teacher, right? And do that. And then lastly, wives who have struggled with their role as a helpmate and a homemaker. And I just want to encourage you, this passage is not just an ideal, like the super Christian woman that like nobody can attain, and God's just like putting it out there as like a little stick that you can never reach. That's not the point of this. The point of this is it's hard to find someone like this. It's hard. This is what the word says. But she didn't say, hey, it's impossible, so just settle. No, she told the king, her son, no, don't settle, find this woman, right? She's out there, and there's a woman that wants to be excellent for God and is not going to come up with excuses and not going to eat the bread of idleness. It's going to be someone who's a self-starter, a go-getter, that kind of person. Find that person, because that person is the one God wants for you. And so if that's true, that God's instructing men to look for that woman, that means that you have the ability to be that through the Spirit, through walking in the Spirit. And so man, there's so many cool ways. And just reading over the passage, if you struggle in certain ways with here, that God, through his Spirit and his nature, can allow you to turn and repent of that sin and turn and be everything he's called you to be and grow in these ways. And it may take you a while, and you have to step up, but God can grow you, and he'll bring people along. If you're willing to listen to people, who older women who want to give counsel, and if you're looking for help and you're looking for resources online and books to read and all of these kind of things, there's so many things available that can help us walk in these things, okay? I'm going to tell you, going back to the be a faithful woman. And God's called you to be a faithful woman. And faithful is consistently doing the things you know to do to the best of your ability. Not making excuses. It's that kind of person that shows up every day, just like the manager at Chick-fil-A. You know, like they're a terrible manager if they're not there. If they have a bad day, a bad emotional day the day before, and they just call in, man, they're not going to be able to manage Chick-fil-A the next day. And they're not going to be able to do it. And a person who knows their role and understands that they've been called to this, and they pray for God for strength to say, only I can do this in your strength. I know you don't want me to grow weary of doing good, so in order for that to happen, you've got to help me, right? I need your help. I need to be in it to win it. I'm going to look to you, God, for my help, right? It's possible. And so that's the call today for our women, so that they can be women of God, where verse 28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. All right, this is God's word. God, who only deserves praise, said, a woman that fears the Lord is worthy of praise, just like I'm worthy of praise. That's an awesome thing. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. And that's what we want, people that love God and want to live these things out. If you're a woman in the room, I just want to encourage you. I know there's a lot of different stories and a lot of different heartache and a lot of different struggles in the room and people watching. It's always this way in an audience, even this big. And I just want to encourage you that God's given you everything you need in his word to pursue a life of godliness and holiness. We're so thankful for you, for all the ways in which God's uniquely created you to show us his glory through your attributes.
We are so encouraged that you chose to engage with God's Word on our Provenance podcast. For more biblical teaching, resources, media, and to financially support the mission of Provenance, please visit ProvenanceChurch.com. Until next time, go equip one another to embody humanity's one true purpose.